If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Pixel Sift is proudly supported by Murdoch University School of Arts. Now, if you're interested in a degree in creativity, then Murdoch might be the place for you to go. They have radio, they've got journalism, they've got game design, they've got arts, they've got anything you want to learn or you want to think about, you can come here and find out how to do it. Maybe you want to make a podcast, maybe you want to make a video game, maybe you want to do a podcast video game hybrid thing. Well, murdoch.edu.au/arts is the place to go if you want to learn more. Murdoch University School of Arts proudly supporting Pixel Sift. So if you want more information, you want to support the people who support us, murdoch.edu.au/arts. Hello and welcome to another episode of Pixel Sift. My name is Gianni and joining me on the show today is Fiona, who has been doing a sterling job hosting the show, but she's in the co-host chair today. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, welcome back. It's been a while since you've been on that side of the desk.
I know, it has been a while, but I'm here and we're getting excited for episode 121 of Pixel Sift. So if you've never tuned into Pixel Sift before, Pixel Sift is a podcast that looks at indie games and the issues that surround it and people who play games, who make them, all of that sort of stuff. Each week we dig into that to find out a little bit more. And each and every week we talk to a developer about the game that they are making. Our guest this week is Greg Jaminovich from Marineverse. They've made a game called VR Regatta. Greg, thank you for coming on the show and joining us this week.
Thank you, Gianni, for having me. Really excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to learn more about your game, but we've got another topic to discuss. There's a lot of politics around at the moment, Fiona. What's the first topic that we'll be talking about on the show?
So we'll be taking a closer look at the return of the Australian Interactive Games Fund and what that means for the Australian indie development scene.
Well, it's going to be pretty exciting. Could be pretty exciting. We don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, but we're going to find out. Let's jump in, shall we?
Pixel Sift!
It's not Pixel Sieve. It's Pixel Sift.
Pixel Sieve!
The Australian Interactive Games Fund was a program launched back in 2013, and they set aside a budget of 20 million AUD to support the development of Australian games. Sadly, it was axed in 2014 with the change of government. But however, with the election coming up, the Labor Party has promised to bring it back if they are victorious in this weekend's election. So that's pretty exciting. And this time they're offering, they're hoping to bring back it. So it's 25 million budget, not 20 million.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, this was a policy that was in place by the previous Labor government. It was part of their creative creative funding package. And when there was a change of government, it was one of the first things to be cancelled after that change of government. In the first budget, it was gone. Interestingly enough, for this particular fund, the Australian Interactive Games Fund, it was administered by Screen Australia. They were the company that actually, or the government organisation that gave out the money. They gave out money to the tune of about one year of the program. That's about it. And it has already paid back. In that time, in that 1 year, it had already paid back the money that it had given out. So it was already at cost neutral, and it was due to run for another couple of years after that, but it got cancelled before that. So there are a number of companies who got some funding as part of this. They received funding and support. Can you tell us some of the companies that we would know that were part of this initial funding program?
Yes, so there was lots of different companies, including SMG Studio, and one of them actually said that in total they received $300,000 and they repaid half or more than half of that pretty quickly. So that was it's pretty amazing.
I think they said they paid 10 times that, didn't they? They paid 10 times back in taxes already.
Yeah. And then other game studios that were also included was Defiant Development, who made Hand Fate, and we've spoken to them, Flat Earth Games, Tin Man Games, Love Shack, The Voxel Agents, Iron Helmet Games, so many more that, especially that we've had on the show here, and they've gone and made some amazing games from being offered this money and being helped out.
Now, Greg, I know we're having a slight issue with sound here, but we're going to try our best to see how you go. Can you tell us a little bit about what this sort of support would mean for a company like yours?
So essentially, Marineverse received similar grant from a local state government from Finn Victoria. And I know exactly, I guess, what sort of impact it can have. And it's a unique program we have here in Victoria, and having something like that in the whole country would make the same opportunities available to everyone else. And essentially, it let us explore something very unique and creative, which would be very hard to fund otherwise without the government support.
But yeah, as you said there, Greg, it allows you to invest in a bunch of new technologies and a bunch of new people that you probably wouldn't be able to normally invest in.
Yes, so basically we're working in, VR Gata is, project in virtuality space, and that's very innovative and unproven, and convincing someone to do something like that, especially in the space we work in, which is, again, sailing, so it's quite a specific niche, it's really hard to pull it off and commercial partners to do it on its own, whereas even if it's a good idea and even if people will love it, whereas with a government funding, I guess we as a team were able to something much more, something very risky and pull it off, and we're able to not only work on it ourselves but also bring in from others, right? So we worked, for example, with an amazing sound designer. We worked with amazing marketing company, Lumi Consulting, that I think you had someone on the show two episodes ago. And all that support that we were able to bring into VR Regatta was only possible because we got that trust and initial resources from government. So it was really game changer for us, really being able to get access to that sort of funding without any strings attached.
Fiona, can you give us a bit of an idea of what this plan is going to look like? And also the Greens are bringing in a policy as well that they want to make a support for this program as well.
Yeah, so the Greens are very supportive of wanting this in, but they, back in 2016, they actually proposed a similar sort of funding, but instead it was $100 million. Unfortunately, that didn't get through, but they're backing this up. But we already know from just that 1 year of running that it helped kickstart so many companies like Defiant Development. I blanked there for a second. It helped kickstart their company.
League of Geeks as well as another one, SMG Studios, you said there. I think it's really interesting to see because in many years, and to contrast this as well, the other particularly there would be three major parties in this election who would be playing a role. The Labor Party, who's announced this $25 million for the Australian Interactive Games Fund, this forms part of their broader creative strategy. So this is one aspect of that. But the Greens have got this policy. So we think that if Green senators get elected into Parliament, they would probably support Labor's policy for that to go through. But the coalition at the moment do not have a policy for this, and they, in fact, have not had a policy for this for a long time, and it's been something that has caused a bit of issue for people. Now, we did ask people as well what they thought about this and whether they thought this was a good idea and whether or not it would change their vote. So Roy on Facebook says, look, I'm a rank-and-file member of the Greens, so it's obvious where my vote will go. Even so, I wouldn't change my vote for games as issues like climate, poverty, social justice are more important. Lots of my fellow Greenies are gamers and have a much more positive attitude towards the arts and tech funding, which is nice. And Stephanie on Facebook says, yes, it does change my vote. Well, rather, it actually told me which parties to vote for, as I had no clue before. But the most important thing for me right now is to be able to go home. As a game artist, it's hard for me to do that right now when other countries are offering more support. I went overseas straight after my studies, and I wish to have a chance to one day work in an Australian office. Jono on Facebook also says, games development funding is awesome, but it's a long way down the list of priorities compared to, say, health and taxes and things like that. That said, if I was on the fence, maybe that could sway me.
There's one here from Ben on Discord, and it says, to me, it seems like a diversionary tactic from Parliament. Find something that young people are interested in and passionate about, and then draw the attention to that away from their non-commitment to make any meaningful change on actual big issues like climate change. So that's a different sort of angle looking at it.
And that's interesting because we did hear that quite a lot about from people saying that, saying that actually other issues were more important, but it's sort of something that aligns with what they're already thinking about anyway. So it's a sort of a bonus. We had people like Dawnfire on Discord and Captain Perth, for example, Valkyrie 86 as well, and Corticus, basically saying that, yeah, it's a good policy. It'd be nice to see Australia more involved with games and actively encouraging innovation. But some of the issues like climate change are the ones that are really important for their vote. Now, Greg, can you tell me if what other developers and your colleagues and peers have been telling you about what they think about these policies?
Well, not much discussion around the policy itself, other than I guess we all excited for, you know, to do more projects, and obviously with a more access to funding that opens up those opportunities, and definitely keen to, you know, grow our small studio, so really excited. One thing I was reflecting on, I guess, just because of my other background, I'm actually involved with another startup that's working on electric cars. So games are not only policy, I guess, that is being put forward by, the opposition parties, Labour and Greens. They also have climate change policies. So overall, if you care about environment or if you care about the games, I guess those policies sounds very appealing, I suppose.
It's definitely an interesting one. I think it's something that people have been asking for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it sort of seems like at this very last moment now, just before this election, to see it kind of come back. Because we have had elections since, and it hasn't been a policy for I think the Greens did have a policy to reinstate it at one point, but the Labour Party has only just recently instituted this policy. And
Do you know what actually, is there any obvious reason why this came up? Was there any event that triggered it, or just came out of the blue?
I think they had their big launch for arts funding more generally, and there was a component of that which was the games funding is that. So there's other arts funding, including a Creative Australia Fund, which is more broadly about creativity, that's going to be a thing, as well as other funding for the ABC and the SBS. The public broadcasters were also part of this announcement when it was announced. So there is a broader range of creating and more stuff in Australia. But, I mean, it's an election, so that's probably the main reason why it got talked about now, because they're trying to sway a few people across the line. So I think if anyone has any comments to share about that, feel free to get in the chat there and tell us what you think. I might just leave you with a few more chats from what people have said to us. So Squint on our Discord says, look, I don't think video game funding could ever sway my vote positively or negatively outside of extreme circumstances, which will never happen. If money's been putting into games, that's good, but it isn't something I'm thinking about when I go to the vote. And Timmer also agrees with Squint. For me, it doesn't really change my vote. It just really affirms who I'm going to vote for. As others have said, there are bigger issues that need solving before games funding becomes something that swings my vote. So, very interesting. I guess we'll have to see what happens on Saturday as we record this. It's only 2 days away from the federal election. You may listen to this after the fact and you'll know the result of the election, but it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens with that one. Let's jump into the next part of the podcast, shall we?
Hey there. If you're enjoying the show and you want to hear more, subscribe to Pixel Sift on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, or listen on pixelsift.com.au. See you there.
So if you're just joining us, our guest this week is Greg Djimitovic. He is one of the developers, the lead developer, in fact, the director of a company called Marineverse. They're making a game called VR Regatta. Greg, what is VR Regatta?
Via Regatta is immersive virtual reality sailing experience that lets newcomers to sailing and experienced sailors get a taste of sailing in their living room. That's, I guess, the short gist of it.
So how does a VR sailing game work? Because honestly, it just sounds amazing to me.
Yeah, so in terms of VR Regatta, it's targeting the high-end VR devices like HTC Vive or Oculus Rift, and essentially you have your headset, so you put it on, and you are transported into a body of water. You can look around, and it's amazing islands all around you. You are on the boat, and you are trapped within the space. So I'm not sure like how all of you are familiar with VR, I guess, but essentially you get two hand controllers, so you can grab things. So you can grab your steering device behind you, which is a tiller. You can grab a rope called mainsheet with your second hand. And it's kind of very close to what you would do on the real boat, the kind of movements you do. And then you go sailing. And it's basically very immersive, very relaxing, and kind of gives you really a taste of sailing.
So is it a simulator or is it a game?
Yeah, we navigating a fine balance of like it's kind of both, so maybe it's a lightweight simulator, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Hardcore simulation, it is simplified and gamified in some parts to make it approachable for newcomers, but having said that, like a couple of the key elements that are important for a newbie sailor, you can actually pick them up, and then that knowledge you gain in VR Regatta will make it easier for you to learn real sailing.
So does that mean you get like a warning just before you're about to capsize instead of just capsizing?
Well, yeah, you actually don't capsize. And that's one of the design choices we've made where this was actually unreal. I mean, you would think that in real life you always can capsize, which is often true. But actually last Friday we went on the water and we sailed on those boats which are used in the programs to share sailing with like people on doing rehabilitation or like disabled sailors. And those specific kinds of boats, they actually have a very heavy centerboard that makes them pretty much very difficult to capsize. And that's kind of how the boat in VR Regatta behaves. You cannot really capsize.
Is there a way to like stop people just sailing off into the distance off the edge of the map? Because I can just imagine playing the game, just keep going into the sunset.
Eventually you get hungry or you need to get to the toilet. but yeah, like the map actually is boundless, so you can keep sailing. It's just, you know, open ocean. So eventually there is not much there, but you can keep going.
So who is this game actually for? Is it for people who are keen sailors, or is it for people who want to sort of experience sailing? As you said there, it's like the ones where they get people to sort of try out for the very first time.
Where it sits at, it's probably kind of, it's not necessarily for active sailors. Use it as a vehicle to share and explain their passion to, you know, friends and family. But it works really well for people who never sail and are curious, or for the people that used to sail and are unable anymore. And that's probably where we get our strongest positive feedback are, you know, people that, for example, are now in their 40s and are busy with their family and kids at home. Memory of sailing as a kid when they were like 8 years old. And VR Regatta and virtual reality in general does amazing job of bringing up those memories and really reconnecting them to their childhood. So for someone who is 40 years old, but it's also true for someone who is 80 years old. And we have some users like that, where someone who might be in 50s will bring VR to home back for Christmas and will put grandfather in his 80s into VR. And, you know, they may have not been on the boat for 20 years. And we got some amazing videos from users where it's a really powerful experience for, you know, that grandfather to go back and go sailing again. I guess VR Regatta shines as it is. Our ambitions, I guess, for virtual reality sailing are much broader. But I guess that's a different answer, or longer answer.
So if you're just tuning in, you're watching Pixel Sift. We're an indie gaming podcast. And at the moment, we're speaking with Greg Jiminovich from Marineverse about their new game called VR Regatta. Now, what was one of the challenges when making an authentic sailing experience in VR?
I guess there is a couple. If we specifically focus on the authentic bit, it's not so much an issue for people who never sailed, but for people that did sail, the lack of haptic feedback in VR experience is something that I guess on and it's challenging.
Because you wouldn't be feeling the wind pulling against you or anything like that, would you?
Correct. And that bit we solved by having a sound. So we are able to do quite a good job by letting people basically hear where this wind is coming from. So that's for the experienced people. And for the beginners, we have like this UI element in the game where they can look up and see where the wind is coming from. So that's fine, but with the tiller, which is behind you, it is one of those things which is, in some way, it is intuitive because it's better than keyboard. But on the other hand, you're kind of waving your hands, behind you in the air, kind of challenging, I guess, to do well.
To reposition yourself.
Yeah. That's in terms of the gameplay, I would say. The other one, I guess, is just deciding as a team, you know, how realistic it's going to be and what are we going to do, for example, like with water physics. Because technically, I guess, when you're on the boat, it's, you know, everything is moving up and down. The boat is very dynamic, but then that could lead to motion sickness in VR. Right. So the decision we've made through iteration was to make sure that the sailing experience is very flat. So you're almost like sailing on a perfect flat lake.
Mm. It sounds like there's a lot of different balancing acts that you had to do to make this game.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess that's where we are all team of sailors. So we were able, I guess, to make many of those trade-offs and balancing acts and straight away, you know, feel good by play testing on our own, whether it, feels authentic or not. So that was easy. I guess what was harder was basically making the game people that never sailed before, right? Because many things you would think are obvious, but they're actually not. They are not obvious if you haven't sailed before. And getting that right, I think we've got to the point where it's pretty good, but obviously it can be improved. It was many, hours of playtesting, and that's, I guess, the practical challenge that we run into, which is to playtest in VR, because, for example, you know, I cannot just take my mobile phone or laptop and go to the office and let everyone play my game. Mm. If I want to do that, I need to bring my whole kit, and it's like a mission to bring it and to set it up. A lot of that, we've done some events, but actually the actual playtests that were helpful for us in terms of getting the gameplay right were mostly done through the service, which was basically offering recorded playtests where, you know, people would play our game and they would record the first 20 minutes of their experience, and then just by watching 10 of them, it was kind of obvious where are the breaking points and what we need to fix, I guess.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How does that work? Is there just a bank of VR players ready to go, ready to test games?
There was, and I'm kind of blank on the name. I think it was called Fishbowl VR, and it's a bit sad because I think they are no longer in business. But the way it worked, $500, so pretty good value, and you were getting 10 half-an-hour playtests, and you were able to say what you kind of want to test for, and then they were working like a marketplace, right? So and for to order that report, and they had a group of playtesters around the world with different devices, different VR devices, and they were offering this service, which was really, really helpful, as I said, for us in terms of getting the onboarding experience in the game, right?
Mm. And can you tell us a little bit about your team as well? Because I noticed that you have got offices sort of around the world. How does that work, and how do you manage a team? And it sounds like you're managing a team of offsite testers as well.
Yeah, it's so first of all, like I mentioned before, that we received a grant from Film Victoria. So specifically last year, there were moments when there was like more than, I guess, 10 people working on the project, whereas now it's back to like 3 or 4. And we are all remote. That's how we started. So like I'm a developer and I'm based here in Melbourne, but our 3D artist is based in Toronto, in Canada. And that interaction was, you know, interesting because basically we need to work together, but then we have this huge time zone difference. So we managed that through use of Skype, Trello, and all of jazz. But it is definitely challenging and it's hard. And then all the rest of the team, I guess, even if they were local in Melbourne, we probably collaborated still mostly through Skype and online tools.
So what was the inspiration behind Marineverse? Was it because all of you have sailed in some way before?
So interestingly, we knew that we wanted to do something in virtual reality sailing, but we weren't really, again, we thought that we actually will make a, you know, training tool for a sailing club or something like this. So first of all, I guess I have a big background in sailing, and I'm also, I guess, technologist. So basically the initial inspiration when the project started was just combining those two passions. And I was working on it, I guess, with my partner, Olga. The prototype, and we put it out there in 2016, basically both Nate, who is based in US and he's, I guess, a developer, and David, who is... they just found out about it and we joined forces because they also were interested in VR and they were also, they have an extensive background in sailing. So what brings us together is that passion for sailing and technology.
So normally when people put their like keen interests on their resume, you were looking for people who put sailing down as a keen interest when they were applying for a job, or did you go to yacht clubs and go, hey, do you know how to program for, you know, for VR?
Well, we were very lucky in the early days because, you know, they just got in touch. We didn't even put a job up. But these days, I mean, it's rare to find someone that has those both skills, right?
You've got them all.
But yeah, almost. There's still one or two.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's mostly, I guess, someone that has a technical skill, you know, whether it's a 3D skill or like a marketing skill or what have you, and then interest in sailing, right? Mm. We don't expect everyone to be an expert in sailing, but definitely being interested and open to learning about it is needed, I guess.
And I guess one final thing, that when I heard about the game, as someone who used to have a family who used to sail quite a bit, I know that sailing is quite a hobby that is expensive. You know, people have no qualms about spending $40,000 plus on a sail, or, you know, you know, $2,000 on a winder and a whole bunch of bits and pieces. Those sort of amounts of money, VR is often thought of if the cost is a barrier. And was that part of the thinking when you were making the game? You're like, all right, we'll sell it to people who don't think about dropping $40,000 on a sale. They'll buy a Vive and a brand new computer so that they can jump in and play.
Well, quite the contrary, funny enough, because as I mentioned, we started with the assumption that we'll do something for sailing clubs and VR, not necessarily the game. But we found that at least the clubs we spoke to in Melbourne area, they weren't really, you know, ready to jump on board with some random tool idea that we were pitching to them. Is that if we wanted to make it work, like trying to sell both VR, you know, a sailing experience was actually too hard. Even you would assume that it would be easy, but it wasn't. So the choice to make a game was basically a conscious choice to do something where it would be easy to experience what we're doing because they already have a VR hardware. And that's basically a big part of our plan today, is doing something which is approachable to newcomers, because then we can grow as a studio and hopefully, you know, develop our simulator to the point where it's actually becoming useful again and interesting to people that do real sailing. You know, as the market progresses and we have devices like Oculus Quest, so those standalone cheaper devices.
And maybe they'll use it as their, you know, their sales pitch for getting people out on the boat. You know, here, try this out. If you like this, then you come out on Saturday and we'll hit the water and something like that. So,
well, yeah, and we've been doing that. So that bit we've been actually doing with Australian Sailings for the last 2 years, and we may do it again in Melbourne during the Melbourne the boat show in June. Yeah. So they're very keen to do it, but they like us having, you know, taking care of the VR stuff. So I guess the next iteration for us as a business is to show sailing clubs and you know, Australian sailings that there is enough value in doing it, that they actually should do it themselves as well. And then that becomes an amazing marketing tool for all the clubs that scales really well. Because at the end of the day, it is off-the-shelf hardware and it's not that expensive. It's just, you know, proving and showing to users that this is actually useful, which is always a challenge with a new technology. I'm not sure if you, I remember that when I saw first people with like iPhones and smartphones, for a while I thought like, okay, that's cool, but I don't need email on my phone. I'm using, you know, laptop, I'm right. And it's only once you realize, like this is why this is a useful thing, then you jump on board. And it's kind of the same with VR.
Well, look, it's very exciting. And, yeah, obviously VR is going to become cheaper. Those new devices are going to be launched out onto to the market very soon, which maybe means that people will be able to pick it up for the price of a console, less than the price of a mobile phone, actually, for people to buy that. Look, Greg, we've pretty much run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and telling us a little bit about VR Regatta. People can go pick it up now. You've got a brand new expansion into Arctic waters if you want to go and check that out as well. And you can just do a search for Marineverse online or VR Regatta if you want to see some more information. Now, Fiona, for people who want to find out more about what we've talked about in the show, where can they find that?
So you can go to, well, we do have a Discord, pixelsif.com .au/Discord. Almost forgot the Australia there.
Yep.
We do have a website. You can just search in PixelSift and we're pretty much the top link. We have a Facebook page, YouTube, Twitter. We're pretty much everywhere. And just search PixelSift once you get there.
And thanks again, Greg, for coming on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Pleasure. Thank you, Gianni. Thank you, Fiona. It was awesome to speak with you.
You'll find links to everything that we talked about in the show notes of the episode. We've got more information on our website, pixelsif.com.au. We're going to be at the Australian Podcast Awards this weekend.
Ooh, exciting.
Hopefully taking home an Australian Podcast Award. We'll see how we go. And tell your friends, if you like the show and if you think it's good, please tell them and get them to check it out. And that's pretty much the best thing that you can do. We'll see you all in 2 weeks' time for another episode of Pixel Sift. See you then.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.